on the ticket. We'll talk some NBA with Chris Sheridan. Check out his website, SheridanHoops.com. Follow him on Twitter, at SheridanHoops. We'll talk Heat, Knicks, Lakers.
Oy, poor Kobe.
A lot of stuff going on just 2 days into the NBA season, and just so many storylines already, Chris. Good morning, by the way.
George, so you had the Lakers 0-2, the Mavs 0-2, and losing those, both of them by you know, decisive margins, didn't you?
I had the first one maybe by a decisive margin. I felt like the Heat, you know, coming in that game were, and just in general, you have teams kind of playing a little lax after the celebration. So I felt like the Heat maybe, but the Lakers definitely, I didn't have them at 0-2. I certainly didn't have them losing to Sacramento.
Yeah, certainly. And then, you know, with the Denver Nuggets, the way they had to kind of throw that team together in the last couple of days, you certainly don't expect them to come in there and beat Dallas by 23. But, you know, look, they were a second straight team that was up by 30-plus points on the Mavericks in the second half yesterday. So, strange start for L.A. and for Dallas.
Shouldn't Dallas just play small? I don't think that playing with Brendan Haywood makes any sense for them.
I agree, and that it goes back to how valuable Tyson Chandler was. And, you know, I was having a talk with another reporter during the preseason. This was a guy from France, and I won't give him up because he broke the rules. But here's what he told me. He said, you know, when I was covering the finals last year, after the media availability, I went up to the rafters, and I watched the Mavericks practice from up there. And the guy says, I always do this. I never get caught. You can see anything you want from up there. Nobody ever goes up there. He says, so I watched the Mavericks practice, and 80% of the time, all they worked on was defense. And during that 80% of the time, the only guy barking and talking was Tyson Chandler, because Tyson Chandler is not only a good defender, but he's a good defensive leader. And, you know, he sits back in the middle, and he tells everybody what to do. So he's kind of the quarterback of the defense. And he was an integral part of that team, and I understand why they let him go, because Dallas does want to have the most cap room next year so that they can get Dwight Howard or they can get Darren Williams or they can get a combination of guys that are going to help them rebuild, because, look, Jason's old and Dirk is getting older and they got to do what they got to do. But in the interim, they really miss what Tyson brought to that team, and then they also really miss what J.J. Barea brought to that team. I watched the Timberwolves play last night against the Thunder, and Barea was doing it for the Timberwolves, coming off the bench and giving them a spark and hitting crazy shots and drives and floaters. And they missed those two guys a lot, and they haven't adequately replaced them. And do you want to keep going with Brendan Haywood if you're the Mavericks, or do you want to turn to Lamar Odom, because he's probably your second-best option as a center? Now, he's not a natural center, but he did play center for Team USA at the World Championships in 2000. He's 6'10". There's certain guys he's going to be able to play against. There's certain guys he's not. But Brendan Haywood is a guy who hasn't played well since the Mavericks gave him that enormous contract 2 summers ago. So at a certain point, you got to cut bait with that guy and say, we're going to go a different way. And I think Lamar Odom is probably their best option as the new center.
Chris, when you saw the Heat play on Christmas, did you expect some of that last year? And what did you make of the new offensive philosophy?
Well, did I expect some of that in terms of just dominance?
No, I mean, well, that and just the more open style of offense.
Well, I think some of that was a product of the way that Dallas was playing such a lackadaisical defense. But, yeah, I expected them to play a wide open offense because, look, they have two guys who in a set offense, are best with the ball in their hands. And in Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, and you only have one ball, and you got four hands there, so there's a math problem. So the more the Heat can play in transition and speeding up the game, the easier it's going to be for both of those guys to get off. So I think they always have to play that way in order to be successful. And one of the things the Mavericks did against them in the finals last year was slow the game down, pretty much zoned them up. And then you have the situation with LeBron didn't have great fourth quarters, but he also didn't have the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter because Dwayne Wade does that for the Miami Heat, and Dwayne Wade's been doing that for the Miami Heat for 6 years now. And that's always going to be a fundamental problem with the Heat when you have a slowed-down game. So I would expect Miami to try to do the same thing tonight against Boston, just come out and run. And if it looks like Kevin Garnett's going to be able to play, but Paul Pierce is still a question mark, and if they're missing one of their big three, you jump on them and you run them and you see if that system can work the same way it worked against Dallas on Sunday, it's either going to work against a tougher defensive team like Boston tonight, and then you'll be able to judge a little better, are the Heat going to do what Wilbon says and win 56 games this year, or are they going to have some matches they're going to have to slog through? And certainly there will be a few, but I think they're going to try to impose their will every single night, much more than they did so last season.
I'll get to Wilbon in a second because he was on Levitard's show yesterday here on the station, and he made some comments that I thought were kind of and I respect him a whole lot. I think he's great. I think he's an excellent reporter. I think he's an excellent journalist, great columnist. But I think some of the stuff he said yesterday was just a lot of heart talking and not a lot of brain. But we'll get to that.
All right.
LeBron playing through the post, Dwayne playing through the post. We saw that certainly against the Mavericks. To me, that's the way, when they're going to play a set offense, that's the way Miami should do it. Play through one of the big three in the post because it creates a mismatch. When it's LeBron or Dwayne or something, there may be a double team or someone shading in their direction, and that means somebody's got to be open. That's the way they have to play when they play a set offense. Agree?
Well, yeah, I agree. As long as you're able to do that and get the ball, get one of those guys isolated in the post, and then create the offense from inside going out. And sometimes that's easier said than done. If teams pull you up in the backcourt and it takes you until the shot clock's at 14 to get into your offense where you're trying to get the ball into the post, well, you've lost 10 seconds there. As an early offense and as a way to set the offense, you got to make that happen earlier in the shot clock rather than later. But I agree with you, George. They can't have both those guys be perimeter-based guys, which they've both been throughout their careers. Both of them can play in the low post, especially LeBron, and both of them are going to draw a double team. So that will work better than traditional offensive set where Dwayne or LeBron is on the outside and is shooting from there.
Chris Sheridan, check out his website, SheridanHoops.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Sheridan Hoops. All right, here's the Wilbon stuff from yesterday. They were talking to him about Chicago and Miami and whatnot, and here's some of his thoughts on Chicago and Miami.
Dealing with Miami, you don't have to deal with the big man. You don't have to deal with stopping a center. You don't have to deal with neutralizing a guy in the middle. You have to deal with the greatest wing players since Michael Jordan, two of them. And that's Luol Deng, I think, is probably right now, there may be somebody you guys can point out, I think he's the best wing defender in the league. You got to deal with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade seven times, if you're lucky. You got to have a defender there of Deng's caliber and of Rip's caliber. You need both of them. So I'm far from sold on the Dwight Howard Bulls angle.
Rip's not defending anybody at this age.
Well, I disagree with you. I mean, and you got to defend Rip. Dwayne Wade has had trouble against Rip. Look it up. He's got you've got to run with Rip Hamilton. He runs the entire game. He was the fastest guy last week in the Bulls practices, in the preseason practices. So to discount Rip Hamilton because he's older, I mean, the Bulls need to get older. They don't need to get younger. Young guys don't win anything in the NBA, which everybody in Miami should know because you just saw it. Young guys don't win anything in the NBA. Old guys win. The Bulls need to add an older guy to help slow that team down if they're going to play Miami.
You sound like a Bulls homer.
I'm just looking up.
I did look it up, actually, Chris. I went back the last 3 years, and Rip Hamilton's averaging about 13 points a game against Dwayne Wade. Meanwhile, Dwayne is averaging close to 30 on over 50% shooting. So, ideally, yes, I think it makes sense. But when you look at the numbers over the last couple of years, when Rip on the other side of 30, it hasn't actually been that way. I mean, Rip back in 04, 05 maybe could have done that, but I don't think Rip today is capable of doing that.
Yeah, and I would make this point about the Bulls. When you look at the Bulls and how they match up with the Heat, you got to go back to last year's playoffs, and you got to remember what happened in the fourth quarters of those games. And the Bulls didn't have anybody to put points on the board for them except for Derrick Rose. And Derrick was gassed. Derrick had great first three quarters, but the Bulls were terrible in those fourth quarters. They were below 20 points per quarter all the time because they didn't have anybody else to take the scoring load off of Derrick Rose's hands. So I think they need Rip Hamilton more on offense than they need him on defense in order to match up with the Miami Heat. And then it becomes a tempo game. And if the Bulls can slow the tempo against the Heat, that's what they're always going to need to do to have a chance to beat that team. Because I think right now Miami is clearly the better team than Chicago. But Chicago has a lot of weapons and it has a lot of tough hustles. And, and they got a great coach who knows how to dictate tempo. And you know, those games were all close last year through three quarters, and then Miami whooped them in the fourth quarter. So that's where Rip Hamilton is really going to make a difference, I think, if those two teams meet in the playoffs again. In the, forget what he can, whether he can or can't guard Dwayne Wade. He can put the ball in the bucket. He can hit the mid-range. He can hit the three-pointer much better than he could when he was a younger player. So that's where Rip Hamilton helps the Bulls most.
Finally, quickly here, I got about a minute or so. Your thoughts on the Knicks moving forward?
Well, it was a big win for them. It would have been a real demoralizing loss if they had lost that opener to the Celtics. Number one, because Pierce wasn't playing. Number two, because they played so well in the second quarter and really had the Celtics back on their heels. Then they gave back all that double-digit lead and they let the Celtics go ahead on them. And then Carmelo had just a great fourth quarter, and Carmelo will do that. He's a great offensive player. He had 17 points in the fourth quarter, and it was a really good game, and it has New York pretty fired up. That's where I live, and there's a lot of pent up energy here for Knicks fans to cheer for the Knicks because they haven't had a decent team to cheer for in a dozen years now, and so they really want this team to succeed. But I don't think anybody's fooling themselves into thinking the Knicks are in the same echelon as the Bulls and the Heat. And mostly it's because of the backcourt. You have Tony Douglas and Landry Fields as your starting backcourt right now. You got a great frontcourt, but Landry Fields and Tony Douglas is not a championship backcourt. So you got to wait and see what Baron Davis brings to the team once his back is going to allow for him to play. And then you got to see if they're going to add another shooter, because Mike D'Antoni's offense was predicated on having three-point shooters. Usually you have one of those at the two-guard spot, and Landry Fields is not that. And the Knicks still do have their $2.5 million room exception. There's a lot of thought that they're going to save it all year and try to get Kenyon Martin with that money. But in the meantime, if they could find a way, find a guy out there who can sit out there and bang down three-pointers from the two-guard spot, they may want to go for him first. And I'll tell you, a guy they should look at is Michael Redd. Because Michael Redd, number one, probably wouldn't demand the $2.5 million exception. He'd play on a vet minimum. Number two, the guy's made over 1,000 three-pointers in his career. He was on the Olympic team with Dwayne and LeBron and Bosh and Carmelo. So he's a known commodity, not only to the players, but also to the coaching staff, because Mike D'Antoni, don't forget, is an assistant on Team USA. And like I said, in D'Antoni's offense, you got to have a guy like Gallinari, who they traded last year, a guy who can just sit out there and drill it. They just don't have that right now. And they don't have all the components to be a truly championship-contending team. But they do probably have the best front court in the Eastern Conference, and that's a very good start for them.
Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com, at Sheridan Hoops on Twitter. Chris, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
George, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
All righty, happy holidays and happy new year.